The reading this morning is taken from John 5, verses 1 to 15, and can be found on page 1068 of the Pew Bible. The healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethsaida, and which is surrounded by five coloured colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well.
So it's a vivid picture that is brought to us here in this reading. This pool called Bethesda. Bethesda literally means house of mercy. Or some people would say a house of outpouring. In our first reading this morning, in our call to worship, we read of the 10 lepers. And as Jesus passed by, they shouted out to him, "Have pity on us." The other accounts of Jesus healing people, and they cried out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." People asking for mercy. Mercy presupposes, I suppose, two basic things. One, that there is a need. And two, that there are resources sufficient to meet that need. And as we look at this story, this account briefly this morning, this place, Bethesda, a place of need, desperate need. Look at verse 3. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. A great number of people in this Bethesda, this house of mercy, with such deep needs. And seasonally, occasionally, something happened at that place where if they went down into the pool that was Bethesda, they were healed. Some people say it was a natural phenomenon. It was a spring with, like a spa with healing properties that bubbled up. And the first one down got the full measure of the healing. Others say it was a divine intervention. In the old manuscripts, it has an angel came down and troubled the pool. But more reliable manuscripts leave that out, and they say that seasonally something happened and the first person down was healed. So there was a need, but there were very limited resources for the fortunate person who went down. But into this situation, Jesus came. Jesus, whom John described in that beautiful prologue, in him was life. And later on in that prologue, he says, and we have all received grace upon grace, one blessing after another from him. In other words, here is mercy personified. Here is the one of great resource who can meet the need that is represented there in Bethesda. And Jesus came to Bethesda, where the need was. It's interesting to underline that point. Jesus always went where the need was. Didn't sort of cloister himself away. He went where the need was. I don't know if you've heard the stories of Simeon Stylites. He lived about 400 years after Christ. He thought that to be holy, I just have to separate myself from the rest of humanity. He built a tower with a platform on top, so many feet high, and he thought by living on top of this column, this tower, he would be nearer to God. Jesus was at Bethesda. Squalid place, messy place, a place where there was sounds, pain, smells. But he, the Son of God, came to Bethesda. He said to the man, a man was there, a man who was paralyzed, lame. And this, if we can just feel what is happening here, in the midst of this messy situation, there's this individual. And he says, I've been sick for 38 years. I come to Bethesda because there is healing here. But I have to get into the water, and I've, listened to this, the sadness of it, I've nobody to help me. There's the answer. I've got the need, and there's nobody to help me to get from my bed, my mat, into that salvation, that healing, that renewal, that new life. I've got nobody. Jesus said, do you really want to be healed? Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. At once. 38 years. At once. The man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This sign, the significance of this sign, John tells us when he ends the gospel. He says, I've written these things to you so that you may know and that you might believe, and that by believing you will have life. So what is this saying to us? First of all, it is pointing to Jesus and saying, look, here is the one, here is the answer. Here is the man of mercy, the man who comes to people in their need, and because of who he is, in him his life, in him is grace upon grace, in him are all the resources that we need, and he brings healing and blessing to those who will but trust. But it is also challenging us in this way too. There are plenty of Bethesdas today. Plenty of places of great need. Plenty of places where, I suppose, not the best places to be. Bethesdas. Squalid. Noisy. Smelly. Praise God for the natural resources or the state resources that are there to meet or to supply help in different situations. I would say I went about 40 years and I never went near a hospital. But in the last 2 years, I've been in hospital 3 times. It's amazing, isn't it? Only minor things, of course. Nothing's too serious. But the first time I went in there, I remember, and we were in emergency, Saturday night, midnight. Tell you what, you wouldn't want to be there. Noisy. People under the influence. People who were genuinely sick for one reason or another. People fighting. People with big gashes on their face because they've been involved in a fight. Noisy places, smelly places, squalid places. Praise God for those lovely nurses and doctors who minister there. How we ought to thank God. I know we follow complaints. I've complained myself. Do you know how long I was on the trolley in the corridor? Shame on me. Thank God for the doctors and the nurses and the staff who give themselves unreservedly for the care of those who come in, who take and take and take again. We want to pray for them. Pray for the medics. Pray for the first responders. Pray for the government. Pray for Simon Harris. Pray for all those who different agencies, whether it's rape crisis or hospitals or drug addiction or whatever, praise God for that there are people who are willing to work in those situations and to help. We ought to be thankful to God for them. But when all is said and done, their resources are so limited. And all the time, there are Bethesdas out there, and there are men and women who are saying, I've got nobody to help me. Nobody to come alongside me. Nobody to encourage me. Nobody to cheer me up. No one to show me how I can face tomorrow. They are there. There's plenty of Bethesdas in our world. The second thing is this, is that, and we rejoice in this, Jesus is still Jesus. Yeah, he is. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And it is he who says to us, do not be afraid of tomorrow. I am your helper. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I will be sufficient. My grace will be sufficient. And you are my child. And I've called you to follow me. And just like I went into the Bethesdas when I was there, I want you, in some shape or form, to be children of mercy, to recognize where the needs are, and to seek a way in which you can be a channel of mercy. You might say, well, I couldn't do that. And there is a sense where It takes a special person to be involved in some of those situations. Paul says that in Romans. He says, look, we're a body of believers, and some are gifted in teaching, and some are encouragers, and some provide hospitality, and some are really good in practical things. But there are some who are gifted in mercy. And for those who are gifted in mercy, who have the gift of mercy, we should encourage them, we should support them, we should be challenged ourselves. Have I got the gift of mercy? And it should be a vital ministry of the church. Do you remember a couple of years back, there was like a kind of group, I don't know, I'd call them a think tank or something like that, Elios. Do you remember that? Elios. Elios is Greek for mercy. And this little group in the church, Elios, they met together to explore ways in which we as a church could show mercy. That we would identify those Bethesdas and say, what can we do? It might mean going there firsthand on the front line, on the coalface, getting our hands dirty. It might be just having a burden to pray. It might be giving. It might be supplying. I love this table out here, the storehouse. It's a ministry of mercy to the homeless and to those in need. Well, this ought to be an important part of our church life. I'm not saying it's not, but we ought to seek to develop it. We all ought to be involved in this Elios, this ministry of mercy. And who can tell? Who can tell what God can do with a people who are not inward looking, but a people who are more and more outward looking and saying, what impact can we have? How can we minister in our Bethesdas? And we're talking about local situations. You know, we go down, I don't know if you've been in Dublin in the early hours of the morning, and the homeless there in the doorways. And that's the kind of local situation. But you look further afield in other countries. Do you see that boat now with so many hundreds of immigrants, and they can't dock anywhere? They're out there in the sea because nobody wants them. Millions of Bethesdas. And we have Jesus, the one who can, of unlimited resources. Oh, you don't know me. I'd be scared stiff now to do anything like that. But it's not you. It's what Jesus can do with us. That's the exciting thing. It's what he can do in us and through us. I'm going to end now. Outside Philadelphia in the United States, a big plot of land. Ring-fenced. Lovely, lovely plot of land. But this fence going right round it. And notices. Do you want me to read you the notice? Keep out. This land is private property. Trespassers will be prosecuted to the full weight of the law. Signed, Sisters of Mercy. Let's pray.